solidity or toughness, the quality of bodies by which they sustain the application of force without breaking or yielding. Sounds like a good engineer's definition of strength. Solidarity or toughness, firmness. In this world, we have lots of different ways that we go about seeking strength with our physical health, diet, exercise, making sure our bodies are strong. Our jobs are sources of strength. They provide for us the resources for us to stand, to live. Oftentimes, our social standing is a source of strength, is it not? Where I am in the pecking order of things, and if you think the church is exempt from that, you haven't been around the church very long. Unfortunately, money is a source of strength. Our home is a source of strength. Some of them have been weakened from the storm. Yes, Ramona? Would you like to preach today, or would you like me to preach today? Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Absolutely. You knew where I was going with this, didn't you? No, you had no idea. Okay. I knew where I was going. Hopefully. So these are areas in which we can look for sources of strength, isn't it? Even as followers of Christ, people who know that God, He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, He is omnibenevolent, He loves, He's everywhere, He's everywhere, and He's this perfect, loving, awesome God who's capable of taking care of everything. And yet we rely on so much else outside of Him often, whether we're willing to admit it publicly or even to ourselves, we often rely on those other things. The strength of our home. Many of us don't have strong homes anymore. Hopefully we will soon. Our family can be a source of strength for us, our friends, whatever control we have over life. There's a lot of different ways, areas in which we can be strong. But this morning I'm going to argue that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That is how we are strong. And it seems like an odd phrase that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not just the Lord is your strength, or the Lord is the source of your strength. But Nehemiah 8:10 says very specifically, as he addresses the people of Israel as they're rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's pray for our time together. Lord, we need your strength, we need your insight, your wisdom to determine and understand your truth. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you will reveal to us this morning. May we become stronger as a result of being here today because we are filled with your joy. Lord, may you pour out your joy and your Holy Spirit upon us this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Last week, if you were able to join us, we looked at anxiety. Lots of scriptures that say, do not be anxious, do not fear. We're all aware of these. But we also looked at 1 Peter 5:7, which Peter writes, casting all of your anxieties on the Lord, on Him, because He cares for you. Our anxieties will take away the joy of the Lord. Our anxieties will have us focus places that we ought not to go. And these burdens, these anxieties are absolutely real in our lives. And I would encourage you to keep on doing that each day, perhaps 2, 3, 12 times a day. As those burdens, anxieties pop up, keep on casting them on the Lord. He's able to take care of them. If you need a refresher, go online. You can listen to that message. But our anxiety is going to zap away the joy, and it's going to zap away our strength. So as we look at this statement here, the joy of the Lord is your strength, what does it mean? Well, let's define some terms here. Joy, it's a glorious and triumphant state. One of the commentaries says, in both Old Testament and New Testament, joy is consistently the mark both individually of the believer and corporately of the church. It's me personally. It can be all of us. It can be you individually. But there can be great joy when we come together, great joy individually. It is a quality and not simply an emotion. And here's the important part. It's grounded upon God himself and indeed derived from him. Joy is not happiness. They can come together, but joy, as we're going to see here, it runs deeper than that. Joy that is grounded upon God himself and indeed derived from him is not just your source of strength, but this kind of joy is your strength. It's your mental strength, your physical strength, your spiritual strength. We know when that joy runs low, when we're feeling rotten, down, depressed, whatever, and we just don't have that joy of the Lord, that impacts more than just your mental, doesn't it? The body becomes susceptible to all sorts of sicknesses and illnesses. Your mood has changed. You physically can start getting those aches and pains. It impacts everything. So if I don't have that joy, then my strength just deteriorates. If I don't have that joy, I don't think I have the ability to do what the Lord's called me to do, what the Lord's going to strengthen me to do. I think often of those folks that suffer with depression, those who either attempt to take their own lives or do, unfortunately, end up taking their lives. Man, didn't you realize how beautiful you are? How loved you are? How funny you are? How this and that? You're skilled. You're wonderful. But if you don't see it in yourself, if you don't have it within you, and while depression is different from joy, but if you can't see it, then it doesn't matter what the outside world says. It'll tear you down. I believe joy is the same way. So how do I achieve this joy so that I may be strong? If we're gonna believe that the Word of God is true, and I would hope that as we gather today, we're going to be in agreement. Yes, the Word of God is true. So now let's figure out how is the joy of the Lord your strength? How do I achieve this joy so that I may be strong? Let's take a look at some joy passages here this morning. Taking a deeper look. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life, David writes in this psalm. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In this passage, we see God reveals the path of life. In the previous verse, which we're not going to unpack, David states that God doesn't abandon us. He doesn't abandon us no matter what's happening, the death or anything else. There's an active, loving hand with God. So in whatever situation, there's an active loving hand, whether we feel it or acknowledge it or not. But the second and third parts are the important parts. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. Just being in God's presence, being with him, being surrounded by him, there's fullness of joy. Not just, here's part of joy, here's all the joy that you'll ever need. Here's all the joy that exists in this world. Being in the presence of God, there is joy, fullness of joy, surrounded by his perfect love. We reach our capacity for joy. We get the pleasure forever at his right hand, that loving, powerful, guiding right hand. No end to the pleasure. So this right hand that guides us, directs us, we know that Jesus was God with us. Unfortunately, God is not here we can see manifested, but we have his Holy Spirit here with us. We can experience his presence. We experience his presence as we open up the Word of God. Let me take a step back. We have the potential to experience his presence. Just because you read the Bible doesn't mean you're experiencing his presence. It's there. It's active. It's living. But if you're not going to it, Lord, help me understand more about you, not just so I can have more knowledge. Lord, let me be in your presence. Let me see you. Let me understand you better. Lord, I just want to be with you. In his presence, music has a wonderful way of ministering to us. Probably 60, 70 of us here today. I would venture to guess there's probably 30 different musical preferences here. Some might be more subtle and slight than others. But what really ministers to me, I feel like, man, I'm in the presence of the Lord. You guys are say, Brian, you're crazy. That's not me. But for others, it's, man, I love this. I love that. And there's all these different ways, and none of them are right or wrong. It's, hey, what resonates with your soul being in that presence of the Lord. And you've had those times where, wow, this is just great. The joy of the Lord is here. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you get a sense for how awesome this is, being in God's presence, just the fullness of joy? God's presence equals joy and pleasure. So where do you and I look for joy and pleasure outside of his presence and will? If the fullness is found there, where are you and I looking outside of there? I listed about 10 of ways that I think of. But let's continue our look at joy. Paul writes in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Oops, that didn't go forward. Am I dead, Toby? There's a thingy. Thank you, Toby. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is an intentional focus. It's going to take intentionality, rejoicing in the Lord. Our times aren't always easy. Things are difficult in life. But Paul would argue to have this intentional act of focus, a refocusing of the mind, and most importantly, the heart unto God, since he is the source of all joy and pleasure. Be intentional about rejoicing because of what you know God is doing. Lord, what are you doing here in this moment? I choose to rejoice, which shouldn't be tough because our God is worthy of rejoicing in these things. Thank you. So in his presence is the fullness of joy, and there should be this intentionality in rejoicing the Lord always. And Toby, our next verse is Romans 15:13, which says that, talks about God is the source to fill you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So in his presence is joy, and he's the source that needs to fill you with that joy. It can only come from him. It can't come from these outside sources. We know Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love. What's that next one? Joy. Yeah, love, joy. Then peace, patience, kindness. The other wonderful. But joy, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. The only place I can get joy from is God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something I can't manifest. I can manifest good behavior most of the time, if I'm honest. I would say I can do it all the time, but I have my limitations. I mean, in my own flesh, in my own strength, I can manifest certain things, but I can't manifest joy. That is something that has to come from the Lord. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It clearly comes from the Lord. So earlier on, Toby, if we go to the next slide, Paul tells their readers, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. To keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So if I walk according to what my flesh says, you need to build up your kingdom. You need to build up what makes you strong. And having a house is not wrong. Having a job and money and being healthy are certainly not wrong things. But if these are where I'm putting all of my eggs, and this is how I'm going to be strong, this is how I'm going to make it in this world, this is how I'm going to have success. Well, those things can come crumbling down pretty quickly. but the joy of the Lord that surpasses all these things. So if we want this joy from the Lord, we want to walk according to the Spirit. So inside of you and me as followers of Christ, what happened when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we placed our faith in Him, where the Holy Spirit was immediately indwelt within us. Unfortunately, the old self, the old Brian, the old David, the old whomever, that sin tainted our flesh. It tainted who we are. And so even though that old self is gone, I have a new Brian, I have the Holy Spirit living in me, a new self. He's already done some damage. He's already left some cancer behind. For some of us, quite a bit of cancer to deal with. Those cancer thoughts that say, you know, you got to look out for your own. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, what about what happens if you're going to do this and follow what God's saying? You know what's going to happen to you? But God says that He's the only one that gives us joy. So if we quench the Spirit, if we don't listen to God, we quench the Spirit. That kind of that spirit level has been going to push down in our bodies. Can we expect that joy to come up? Does anybody feel joyful and happy saying no to God? Yeah, how does that feel in your heart? While there's just, whew, I kind of saved myself there a little. That could have been pretty awkward. That could have been pretty bad. But is there joy in your spirit when you say no to God? No. In fact, you get that stuff, the churning in the stomach, you get the anxiety and the burdens and the everything else because, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. That's just too much. And once again, there could be very valid reasons why you would say no, why I say no from our vantage point. Unfortunately, that's not what God asked us to do. So when we say yes, when we walk by the Spirit, we get filled even more, and then we get that joy in doing what He asked us to do. First Samuel 15:22 says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" So yeah, absolutely, when I say no to the Lord, I'm not doing that. No way, Jose. Yes, but I'm going to do it this way. Eventually, I'm going to have to go back to Him and say, Lord, forgive me, I messed up. I should have done it your way. I should have done what you said. And while he accepts that, he forgives you. He wipes the slate clean, but His great delight, His great joy, I would argue, is in obeying the voice of the Lord. And each of us in this room, we've experienced that when we've stepped out and, all right, Lord, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow You here. And we get that joy within us. Your obedience and my obedience, not gratifying the desires of the flesh, brings great delight to the Lord. And it brings the joy of the Lord into our lives. As we look back at Nehemiah, the man who wrote, the joy of the Lord is your strength, he spoke that to the people of Israel. Nehemiah was a man who was obedient to the Lord. He was a man that found joy. And from that joy, he found strength. And as you can imagine, being a prophet, being a leader, is often not without significant criticism, pushback, rejection. But Nehemiah was willing to be obedient and found his joy and strength in doing so. Nehemiah 2:12. Do I have it here? All right. Then I rose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. He was obedient. Lord, I put it in his heart, so he did it. He acted. The next verse, 7:5. Then my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials, and the people to be enrolled by genealogy. Nehemiah did it. Lord placed something on his heart, instructed him, so he did these things. And then later, after a little pushback, he was able to speak to the people, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's speaking from experience to you and to I. So to close up today, I haven't really hid my big idea from us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If I'm weighed down by my anxieties, my burdens, I don't have joy. I don't have the Lord's strength. So one of those things, we're going to want to cast those joys, those anxieties, those burdens, keep on casting those on the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength and my strength. It's our strength, and that doesn't come from necessarily the physical health, the job, our social standing, the home, all that fun stuff. Our strength comes from the joy of the Lord and that fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we want to practice His presence. I would encourage you, but being in God's presence is going to give us that joy, that truly quiet time with God. And not just that time with God where I'm asking Him to be quiet while I tell Him my problems. And there's absolutely a point in that. Hey, Lord, I am so burdened by this. Lord, here's the problems. I know you know them, but here's what I got going on. But then also just taking that time, being in His presence. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Please minister to me. That time with God. I encourage you, practicing a Sabbath rest, intentional time with God. Be wonderful for spending time in His presence, stepping away from all the busyness. Because even if you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's still going to be more. This life will take more out of you. There's going to be more stuff to do. You're going to need to spend that time with the Lord. Spend time with what resonates with your soul as worship. What's that music that really resonates, that brings that joy? Is there an activity that you do that brings joy, that fulfills you? Also meditating on His Word to know Him, not just more about Him. Learning more about our wonderful God through His Scripture. He reveals an incredible amount. We can see His character all throughout Scripture, who He is. So practicing His presence. As we mentioned, there's that obedience aspect. There's great joy in walking by the Spirit and God's will. Part of that is blessing others with what He's blessed you. Blessing others. And I'm going to be honest and upfront, where Jesus told His disciples to count the cost. So as you bless others with what He's blessed you, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you just about every time when you do that. Whether you're using your spiritual gifts, your serving, your giving, your teaching, your mercy, your discernment, your whatever the Lord has given you to bless others with, it's going to cost you. It'll cost your time. It'll cost your talents, your treasures, your money, your gas, your food, your whatever. That time, which is a precious resource. It's going to cost us. Which is why we often push back. And we do have that option to hold back, to provide more security, more strength for us by saying no to God, but know that when the Holy Spirit is laid upon our hearts to act, and with what magnitude, it's disobedience to refuse, or disobedience to only do 90% rather than 100%. And as we all, I think, unanimously agreed, yeah, there's no joy in that. There's no happiness. Not that we're going for happiness. But obedience brings joy, and often the bigger the sacrifice, the bigger the joy. And why? Well, we stepped out in faith even further, and when we were obedient, we became blessed with the joy of the Lord. Everybody familiar with Pavlov's dog? So Pavlov, he rang the little bell and gave his dog a treat, rang the bell, gave the dog a treat, rang the bell, gave the dog a treat, training his dog. Eventually he rang the bell, and so the dog would just expect the treat every time the bell rang. I believe the Lord's training us in righteousness. We get that joy to help. All right, yes, it's going to be tough, but I'm going to get that joy. I'm going to get that joy by being obedient. I'm going to get that joy and not that rotten feeling, I should have done something. I should have done what He asked me to do. And so the Lord's training us for obedience. He's growing us to be more like us, more like Him, to being less obedient to that flesh, that fleshly brine, and more obedient to the Spirit that's within me. Obedience will mean doing God's thing God's way. And there will be consequences to these. But consequences will effectively be inconsequential. We'll be empowered to do the right thing. We'll be often rejected, but obedient. Rejected by man, rejected by whomever, but obedience to the Lord. And in those situations, we can walk away, "Hi, Lord, I did the right thing." I imagine many of us have been in those situations. All right, I did the right thing. I took a lot of flack, but it was the right thing to do. I think of a number of years ago when I shared the gospel with my sister over the phone. Those of you who don't know, she's Muslim, and so walking through the gospel and telling her the truth of it. She's still Muslim, so she did not accept Jesus as her Savior. But I walked away from that phone call on cloud nine because I felt I did and said exactly what the Lord wanted me to do in that conversation. The results aren't my problem. The results aren't my responsibility. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of the Lord. And after that, I was blessed with it with incredible joy. Who knows what the Lord is doing when he asks us to step out? God's ways are thought and thoughts are higher than yours and mine. Also, my first job out of college was working in a glass factory, making insulated glass windows. I was a young buck. Most of the guys there were much older than me, had been there 10, 15 years. I was kind of friendly with him, but not really. It was kind of, once again, the young buck there. And so lunchtime, I would eat by myself, just kind of read my Bible, pray, whatever. They'd be off doing whatever it is that they do. And but then a few months down the road, I got to become supervisor of that line, which didn't really please some of the guys. Once again, these guys were 10, 20, 30 years older than me. Here I'm this new kid who's been there 6 months, and pretty sure he thought I was holier than thou or something like that. Anyways, it was so we kind of had, it wasn't the most pleasant experience, but we kind of worked through it and ended up working really well together. Man kind of struggling in life. I think he had wife and kids and all these other things. Then only being there 9 months, the Lord moved me to a meteorology job. And I came back a couple years later and talked with him and talked with the management inside. "Hey, how's things going?" He said, "This guy's life, his life's all turned around. And Brian, it was because of you. I haven't talked to him in like 2 years. I haven't done anything. And man, he's now leader of that line. He's the supervisor of this line. He'd been working at for 15 years, not been promoted to leader. He's turned his life around. The excess drinking, whenever drugs were no longer a part. He was a good family man. And I believe he was taking his family to church regularly. The Lord used me to touch this man's life. I didn't know what I was doing. I don't think I had been saved for a year yet. No, about 6 months. But just the Lord put me in the right spot. I wouldn't have known what to say. I don't even know what I did or said other than just sharing truth with him. Like I said, in the moment it was tough, but lots of fruit was reaped down the road. And that's part of the blessing also of obedience. We get to witness or reap much fruit. Obviously, we'd like to be in that reaping stage year-round, but it's not harvest season year-round. But it's wonderful when you get to be the key instrument in change, seeing those aha moments. And I'll tell you, that's why I live for it. That's what gets me excited is when people, "Oh, wow, oh, that's the truth." And hopefully, I don't know if this is how I'm wired, but hopefully that excites you as well as seeing people's lives change for the Lord. But the change has to start with ourselves and getting his joy. So as we close today, when the Lord fills us with his joy from obedience, especially when it's tough, it's going to cost us something. But this joy will give us strength and keep us. This joy gives us strength to keep us keeping on, strength to do the right thing, strength to keep on doing again the right thing, even when it's tough. His joy helps you to go one more day when all you want to do is just give up. The Lord gives us that strength. So as we close today, remember today is what the Lord gives you. He's given us everything, the abilities, anything that we have. And part of it's surrender, surrendering our anxieties and being willing to be obedient to him. If we want strength, it's going to come from the Lord, not from us. So let's go ahead and just bow our heads right now and spend a few moments with the Lord. Let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your joy. Lord, help each of us to practice your presence. May we be in your presence right now and filled with your joy that gives us strength to handle all this Hurricane Michael stuff, gives us strength to handle the interpersonal conflicts that are going on in our lives, strength with the family and the sicknesses and everything else we have going on. Lord, may your joy be our strength. May you fill us with your joy today. Help us to be obedient. Empower us and give us the courage to walk obediently to you. And Lord, I pray that you would reward this body with your joy for their obedience. It's in Christ's name we pray.